That gives me goosebumps. I love it. There is a story about an older woman dressed very plainly, and her hair was up neatly in a bun. And she was wearing a large cross on a chain around her neck. And she was passing through customs in Miami when her luggage was pulled aside for a random inspection. In one large bag, the inspector discovered 2 1-liter containers of some kind of liquid. And he asked her what it was. She told him it was holy water. And despite the fact that she was apparently a nun, the customs man was suspicious. So he removed the top and he sniffed the contents and he said, "Sister, this smells to me like Scotch whiskey." Whereupon, with eyes turned heavenward and folding her hands, the woman exclaimed, "Saints be praised, it's a miracle." Well, that's my not-so-subtle way of bringing up the mystifying matter of miracles as part of the content of the Christian faith. Biblically, miracles are no incidental issue. They're right out there in front of us, every few pages. Exodus tells of a sea miraculously opening to let the escaping Hebrew slaves pass through, and then closing it again to drown the pursuing Egyptians. Not many chapters later, it tells of being fed by bread from heaven when they're at the point of starvation. The near empty container of flour from which for many weeks a woman generously fed the prophet Elisha during a famine continued each day to have just enough flour for one more loaf of bread. Even more familiar are the miracles attributed to Jesus, his turning the water into wine that Scott read this morning, his feeding of thousands of people with only a tiny donation of bread and fish, his halting a major storm at sea, his bringing his friend Lazarus back from the dead, and one of our favorites, his walking on top of the water, and dozens of miraculous healings. For many people, all of that is found to be wonderfully inspiring because it seems as proof that Jesus was divine. For some, miracles are a major foundation of their Christian beliefs. If the more supernatural the Bible seems to be, the better it is for your faith. And so be it. Many others feel the same way about it. For others, though, miracle stories have almost the opposite effect. They make it more difficult, not easier, to see Jesus as relevant to our lives. To see it that way does not mean that a person has no faith or is blasphemous. The fact is, the miracle stories do raise questions, at least as to their purpose and their meaning. For example, were these miracles God's way of making clear to us how different we are from Jesus? If so, what are we to make of that? Or do they indicate that if I am really devout, really godly, I too should be able to produce wine from water or be capable of walking on top of water? Or were Jesus' miracles done mainly to dazzle people so that they would listen to Jesus and take him seriously? That doesn't feel right either. Or, I guess, were all of the stories of extraordinary occurrences merely embellishments by the gospel writers, trying to come up with an explanation for that powerful effect that Jesus seemed to have on the life and the lives of those around him? Should we assume that nothing extraordinary ever happened at all? That the people who found healing were all hypochondriacs and Jesus merely jarred them out of it? And there's still dozens of other questions that might be raised. One has but to sit with a covenant class for a few minutes. It would be silly for me or anyone else to pretend to resolve this neatly 2,000 years later. But since it's all woven through the Judeo-Christian scripture, it deserves some orderly reflection. What then, if anything, are we to make of the miracles that are so much a part of the scriptures? One basic part is this. as bright and as knowledgeable as you and I may be in our outlook on the world and life, some holy humility is always in order. By no means does that mean turning off one's intellect or parking one's brain at the church door. It's only to recognize that in a world and life that is as complex and as constantly changing and as riddled with mystery as is ours, there's something arrogant about deciding that you and I know absolutely what the limits are on what could or could not ever take place. I read an example about this, about a woman who 40 years ago believed with total certainty that the entire Apollo trip to the moon was all staged on the movie set. She said that she knew this because God would never allow human beings to go to the moon. As far as she was concerned, it was wrong to even consider the possibility. For her, if it were true that these visits to the moon were real, her whole Christian belief system would be left in a shambles. Now, that was an interesting lesson for me. It made me realize that, albeit in a different context, I was sometimes as dogmatic about any number of hard boundaries on what I just knew was possible, and what, on the other hand, could never happen. I too had absolute limits on the miraculous. Something like that is the subtle intellectual arrogance that I suspect often comes into play when we discuss miracles. But as smart as some people are, we're never as objective as we think we are. Even the most intellectually competent of us still see things not necessarily the way they really are, but rather the way we are. Our perceptions of them and the meanings we impose on them are never as objective as we like to believe. There's an interesting little quirk mixed into this too. It has to do with the fact that people seem to be much more open to the negative miracles than the miracles of a positive nature. There is, in fact, judging by the supermarket tabloid, something of a market for the macabre sort of miracles. Ordinary rational people seem to pay good money for a paper with the headlines, "Man Killed by Six Angry Sparrows," and others like it. It's odd, isn't it, that people whose minds are relatively open to the negatively inexplicable stubbornly insist that any unexplained healing, for example, that might seem to hint of an intervention by God, has to be something other than that. So how are we to see the miracle stories in the Bible? As I said, one way they are approached is taking them just as they're written and thinking no more about that. The Bible says that they happened, and that's all we need to know. It makes it very easy if it works for you. But it doesn't work for everyone. Something that's often helpful is asking oneself not, could God do that, but rather, would God do that? For example, in the book of Exodus, it says that in order to force Egypt's Pharaoh to set the Hebrews free, God killed all of the firstborn Egyptian boys. Another place it claims that by miraculous intervention, God caused the people of Israel to lose a crucial battle in order to punish them for their not having slaughtered all of the women, children, and livestock in the last city they conquered. And there are other such miraculous outrages attributed to God. Bible or not, it cannot be so. Could God? I suppose if God is God, God could certainly do it. But would God? Absolutely not. Not the God that was revealed to us in Jesus. If you prefer a New Testament example, in chapter 5 of the book of Acts, a husband and wife are both miraculously struck dead by God. for being deceptive about the percentage of their assets that they were turning over to God. Again, could God do that? One would suppose that God could. But would the God who I've come to know in Jesus do that? I think not. Some of the miracles reported then have to be ancient misreadings of extraordinary events, wrongly attributed to God as intentional divine miracles. Devout as may have been those ancient people and some of their modern counterparts, they didn't always get it right. More important is this, though. One does well to not get hung up on the question, did this really happen? This is 2,000 years later. All of our reports from Bible writers and translators are at least third and fourth hand ones. And at that, they weren't put in writing until several decades after Jesus' crucifixion. Thus, scientific or historical proof regarding these miracles is out of our reach. A much more helpful and a more revealing question is, does this happen? This which the miracle describes. Right there is where one gets to the faith-nourishing truth that proclaims what is the unmistakable word of God to us in those miracle stories. It's a message that would still be there even if it could be proven that what happened was different than what was described. What those miracle stories say goes something like this. Yes, there is always far more going on and far more to reality than the tight little provable one-dimensional world to which some of us confine our thinking. Yes, the future then is not locked into being that nice, orderly, predictable extension of the past. Yes, whether we believe it or not, even you and I have unused or seriously underused powers and gifts and capacities that are downright awesome, that are virtually miraculous. Yes, people who are dead in all sorts of important ways really do come back to life. And those who haven't heard much of anything or seen what's really going around them for years can and sometimes do regain their vision and their ability to respond. Yes, there is every reason to continue to dream, to care passionately and to hope, even when all the logical reasons for hope are invisible. In short, whether we can explain it or not, the miraculous and the mysterious are a powerful part about the way we're touched and moved and blessed by God. Does that answer the question about whether Jesus really did go strolling across the water? Would the truth of that still be real, regardless of whether Jesus literally turned all those gallons of water into wine? Would our faith collapse if the corpse of Lazarus was not resuscitated? Not for me, it wouldn't. I do happen to believe that some incredibly astonishing things were a part of Jesus' life and ministry. But again, who knows precisely what went on 2,000 years ago? For me, it is the does it happen question that nourishes my faith. Do astonishing miracles of radical transformation take place? Of course they do. Do complete reversals happen? Of course they do. Does impossible healing come about? Absolutely. Do moments of inexplicable wisdom and insight come to us in this changing world? Yep. Bet your life they do. That's what's hidden in the miracle stories. If you fail to understand that and you condemn yourself to living in that tight little world where what has been is what will always be, a world where there is no awe or wonder or mystery permissible, And ultimately, there is little or no reason to hope or be excited about much of anything. Now, it is certainly true that in many ways the life and the world that God has given to us is orderly. But don't let that slam shut the doors of your mind and the doors of your soul. For at the same time, this world and this life remains an unbelievable, dynamic, and open one. A life that throbs with mystery and miracles of change. With unexpected impingements and, yes, not infrequently with answered prayers. The problem when there is one is not a lack of miracles. Not at all. It's a lack of men and women who are open enough, who are humble enough and are imaginative enough to really enjoy those miracles, to be nourished by them, and to be a part of them. Amen.